So my phone was annoying me with all the space issues and technical difficulties of Instagram. So y'all won. Here is the Cassius Forever podcast. 99.9 Cassie FM. You know what? No, Chuki FM. 99.9 Chuki FM. This is episode one. I'm not going to make it fancy. I'm not going to be creative. I'm going to do this just like I do on Instagram because y'all like it just like that. And I like it just like that. I'm going to just talk and that's it. The funny thing is I had podcasts before. I've had three podcasts in the past. People don't remember that. But like in 2018, between like 2017 and 2018, I had like three different podcasts. And yeah, they were all short lived. Like I think the most I got was like five episodes out of like one of them, or like eight episodes. And I used to just record them in GarageBand, and then I would put them on SoundCloud because I first got inspired to do a podcast because Princess Nokia used to have this podcast called Smart Girl Club on SoundCloud. And when I was in high school, I heard Smart Girl Club, and I was like, oh, I could do this. I was like, I could do this. And so I made my little first podcast. Anyway, I came and I had to delete the old one. Because ew, and here we are. So I'm gonna just say, because I was in the middle of doing one on Instagram, and it was being so stubborn that I guess what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna re-say everything I was saying on Instagram, and then I'll continue from where I left off. And there might be cuts because I'm used to that with Instagram. Instagram is like you record a minute at a time. So my brain like stops thinking every like 60 seconds. yeah, I'm about to cut right now so I could think. All right. So I have been in Atlanta, Georgia. I never know which one my tongue is more comfortable saying. But I have been here for some time now. And since I've been here, a lot has been on my mind. And a lot of that has been around just a system that I function in, that we function in. I've really not been the person that I want to be since I've gotten here. And I think I've had a longstanding issue now of feeling like my body is betraying me because I'm not functioning 24/7 all the time like I want to be functioning. Because truly, I want to be successful like anybody wants to be successful, and I want to be self-sufficient, and I don't want to have to rely on handouts. And I know that's a negative way to look at receiving support, but it is how I was raised to look at it, by the world, not just my mother, but by the world. And I've never been able to feel good 100% about receiving care from people. Also because, you know, reaching out for help is something that was only ever presented to me as something that you do when you can't do it yourself, not as just the natural way of doing things, right? It was never presented to me that the natural way of doing things is just to, you know, collaborate. To live in collaboration with others, that's not natural. What's natural is you do everything yourself and you be incredibly individual. And then when the wheels start to fall off, then you seek support. And I feel like I have to reframe that. And I think that's toxic, and it goes deeper than we think it does. into our psychology, because we always talk about reaching out for help and we talk about these things a lot. I feel like I'm not saying anything that's new or revolutionary, but I feel like in life, you know, you talk about the same things and you go through the same cycles. But each time you go around that spiral, you learn that lesson again in a deeper way with more depth. And so it's hitting me deeper and I'm gagging very hard. I haven't taken my Adderall very much since I got here. I've been on Adderall for about since the summer of 22, right? The end of the summer in 2022. And that was a big thing for me because, you know, I had figured out that I had ADHD through, you know, the way that a lot of people are figuring it out right now, where it's like you go online and then you just like the algorithm brings you this content and then you'd be like, oh, wait, I relate to this. And then I started to watch another one and another one and another one. And I was relating so hard. And eventually, after a couple weeks of just like hyper focus on like researching everything I could, because I'm that kind of person, like ever since I was a kid, like when I was a kid, my favorite thing to do was to like sit on my mom's computer. We had dial up. I couldn't be doing too much. But what I could do was I could Google shit and I could have every question in my mind and I wouldn't ask my mom. I would go and Google it. And so that's the type of person I am. And so I researched the hell out of that shit and I found, and I matched it up to every, and I have a pretty sharp memory about my childhood. So I matched it up to all my experience and I said, wow, it was like a bomb went off in my head. And that was a big revelation for me. It was bittersweet because I realized all the suffering and the self-loathing that I went through. I didn't realize that I had this thing that meant that I functioned differently from other people. And if I had understood that, I might not have taken some of my failures so hard. And I would have had an easier time with self-worth all this time, you know? I feel like I came to a point recently that the medicine is not, because I pursued medication, I pursued getting medicated, and I was on top of that shit because, you know, for me, it's about bettering myself and my life, and I want to take responsibility for myself, and it's about not wanting help. It's about not wanting to be a burden to others. Boom, that's what it is. It's not about not wanting help. It's about not wanting to be a burden to others, because that's what makes me feel bad about not being able to function like a robot. That's what makes me feel bad, because I don't want to put a strain on anybody else. And, you know, I grew up, we didn't have a lot growing up. We weren't always, you know, there were ebbs and flows to the amount of, I won't say wealth, but I'll say of resources that we had growing up. You know, I had a very interesting experience because I started my life in private school. It wasn't a fancy private school, but I was in private school. And, you know, my mom had different jobs that gave us different, you know, access to things at different times. But for the most part, I grew up, we didn't have too much. And so I, like a lot of other Black children, common working class Black children in this country or in this world, we grow up with the awareness that our parents are struggling and our parents are having a really hard time taking care of us. A really, really hard time. And I took that hard growing up. I did. And I've never felt adequate enough to rise to the occasion, because what that created for me was a expectation of like that I would assume this role of like the man in the house, and I would do that very early. You know, I had responsibility thrust upon me very early, and I'm not special, I'm not saying that, but I did, like a lot of us did, and I was not ready. I still don't know if I'm ready. you know, I still don't know if I'm ready, because the truth is that there are ebbs and flows to my functioning, and I should be a part of a system. I should be a part of a system and an ecosystem that replenishes me. And I live a life that I feel like is, I don't want to say that, but I feel like it's an incomplete life, because everything is geared toward me bulldozing past the fact that I am starving in so many ways just for the sake of productivity. When I reach for my, let me slow down. So like I said, I got to Atlanta like around like Valentine's Day, right? And so I haven't taken my Adderall I've taken it maybe like twice or three times since I've been here. So it's been some time. It's like, it's March now. We're almost halfway through March. But I had the intuitive sense that like I got here and I was like, well, girl, you're in a stable kind of safe situation right now, and you should take your time so that whatever changes or decisions you make now or moves toward your future that you make now can be sustainable. You know, take this opportunity to really think about things. Take this opportunity to peel out and just like recalibrate my mind and my spirit, because I was reeling when I came from New York, because I had just been under so many pressure for the last couple months. You know, I left my mother's house again. And, you know, I've been working on my album, my debut album, and, you know, thank God that I've gotten so much farther than I've ever gotten, because trust me, I've tried to work on my album DK for many times, for many years. There have been many iterations of this, you know, so-called CC1, right? And this time has been like no other time. And I'll go into why later, but this time has been like no other time for me. And I have very much come into this place with it where I was being super productive, and part of that is the Adderall. Part of that is that, you know, now, you know, I've been making music since 2012, recording music. I was writing raps before that, but I was recording music since 2012. So now we're in 2024. I can't do good mental math, so y'all tell me how much time that is. But I know it's over a decade. And most of that time I did it by myself. You know, first I started out on GarageBand, then I moved into Logic, and then I moved into Ableton. Well, I had a short FL Studio stint, but that was ghetto. We're not going to talk about that. I moved into Ableton, and, you know, in the last 3-4 years, I have started to finally have relationships where I'm constantly working with people, and I didn't have that before, so it still feels new to me. However, for the last 3 years, I have been working on the Breakdown album as a songwriter with Miss Boogie, right? Rose is like my big sister. Like, she is my big sister. That is family. And we have been working very closely on this project, and she created a team of us where it was just the first time that I had ever in my adult life that I fully felt valuable. Because being an artist, being a creative, and having a lot of like maybe like more like liberal arts, humanities abilities, right, meant that like when I got out into the world, I did not feel like I had much to offer, because all of those things are devalued. You know, nobody's making no fucking music in the music industry right now. I finally stepped foot into, because I went to a filmmaking high school, and so I have an educational background in film production, and I've always had an interest in film production. I was always writing screenplays, and I was one of those students at my high school that I loved doing what I did there, and I excelled at it. And So coming out, you know, I didn't get into the film industry for a couple of years. And then I finally got my foot in the door, you know, doing production assistant work like last year. And then boom, the strikes happened, right? But even when you're doing production assistant work, you're not doing it under artistic shit. You see what I'm saying? So like, I have never, you know, in my regular jobs, because I've had many regular jobs. I was a bank teller. I did events. I was a host. I've done like, I worked at Amazon. I've done different things, girl. I did the entrepreneurial shit. I was drop shipping, girl. Y'all remember that? Some of y'all might remember that in 2018 when I was drop shipping, girl. I was ordering them costume jewelries from China and marking that shit up for a profit. Sorry to y'all, because that shit was, I could, and this is why sometimes people like me cannot thrive in this like structure, this capitalist structure, because no shade, I felt so bad when I realized the quality of those products was so bad that I was getting from China. And I was like, I can't believe I'm selling this to people. I cannot live with myself right now. Like, what? And I can't attach my name to low quality products. This is disgusting. So I stopped. Girl, I stopped that shit. I shut that shit down. So anyway, hold on, let me sip my water. My point in bringing up all that stuff is that it's the first time working on a breakdown album, it's the first time in my adult life that I really felt so valuable. And that my skills were real well suited. My gifts were really well suited for what I was doing, and that I could build more skills. I could strengthen my skills on top of that. It was the first time that I had that opportunity because, yes, you know, I had skills that were good for my jobs that I had, you know, some of them. Like, some of those jobs is just like, all you got to do is follow directions. Then some of the other jobs, like, you know, like when I was a bank teller, like my personality came into play because they wanted me to sell credit cards. And I was not good at selling the credit cards because, girl, even though I had everything it took, because the reason why they liked me was that it was like, oh, he know how to talk to the customers. Like, he know he be keen with the customers. Like, he knows how to reel them in. So you could sell them those credit cards and you could get us our bonus and our promotions this quarter. Like, you could help us, right? You could help the bankers out. But, girl, I knew when those people had no business and they did not want, like, I did not want to prey on those people. Another example of like how somebody like me, I find it really hard to thrive in the system, because even sometimes when like it's very straightforward and the money is easy, it's like it's unethical and I cannot. I don't like getting over on people. I don't like that. I'm a very like, anyway, I'm getting off course. However, that still wasn't an example of like me being fully valued in my entirety and in my essence. And so I felt that with the project, and it was an ecosystem between me and a bunch of other artists, producers and writers and instrumentalists and, you know, that sort of thing. You know, and that filled my cup. That's why I've gotten so far with my album now. When I started working on my album after, because, okay, what happened is we have finished recording the finals for the breakdown album in like June, I think. Yeah, June of 2022. And by the, like, September, like, I started to make, like, little stuff for myself again. Because I was not really making no music for myself for a little while. I was really focused on the album. And at least not at a high stamina. And so, but by the winter, I had said, okay, I had got quiet. I was like, I'm not going to tell nobody nothing. I'm not going to say nothing. I'm sick of this, like, sending back and forth text files, and like, no, if I share music, it's gonna be an event. Like, this is my life. I wanna live life around this music. And, you know, I got on a whole spiel about that. And so I got real quiet and I started recording new music and I started writing new music. I started producing new beats. And when I was making these beats, I said, wait a minute, this is not the same artist sitting down at this table that I was before. this is miraculous. Like, I am a stronger artist now for having worked on that project. I am a stronger artist now. I never experienced anything like that, at least not in such an obvious cause and effect situation. And that really meant a lot to me. And it clued me into something. It clued me into the fact that collaborating with other people is replenishing. It's not something where, you know, I think a lot of times in the midst of our culture right now of getting to the bag, right? I'm not going to hate on nobody for wanting to get to their bag. Of course, I'm going to get to my bag too. However, what happens there is that we don't got time to help nobody else. Not profoundly, right? Because it takes away from our business. If Walmart takes out time to help Target, Walmart sales are down. You know, that, you know, that might not happen like that in real life, but you know what I mean, right? So, but I have to be Walmart. I have to be Target, or I have to be Marshalls. I don't got time to really pour into nobody else's shit a lot of the time. And it makes us individual. It makes us so individual, and it isolates us from each other, right? And we're constantly in this cycle of exhaustion. However, when I threw myself into that project, Cassie was not the star. Cassie was not the star, and I'm used to being the star of my own show. You know, I've always been a person who had a lot of ideas, and because of, I guess, a lot of different factors, I'm a person that even naturally I'm very individual. Just because of how I fit into the puzzle of like things, you know? And so I don't know. I wasn't used to that, but I loved it. I loved it. I loved every step of that. And there was no, like, there was never a time where I was just like, okay, I might have to get used to this shit. Like, no. Because actually, Rose had found me. I'm going to say, I'd be like, should I say Miss Boogie or Rose? I'm going to say Miss Boogie for y'all. Miss Boogie had found me. Because I had a little rap page on Instagram back in like 2018, right? Because like I always got a plan, right? And I was like, I want to write for people. I was like, I'm so lyrical, but like half the shit that I could write is stuff that don't make sense coming out of my mouth. So I could write it for somebody else, right? Because I'm a character girl. And I'm also a girl, I see from many perspectives, and like, so I'm able to write from different, you know? Anyway, I was trying to attract female rappers because, you know, that was the time where like there was a lot of talk about female rappers having ghostwriters and stuff like that. And I was like, well, shit, call me. And so I was really marketing myself as a potential ghostwriter. And I was hoping that, and I was uploading versus rapping that are very embarrassing to these days. When I look back at them, because I still have some of them on my phone, I cringe. However, Miss Boogie saw those videos and she saw the potential. And some other people shouted me out at that time and saw my potential, like Suge. I don't know, some of y'all may know Suge, who wrote Anna Wintour with Azealia Banks. And I remember her reaching out to me like, oh, your pen is so great. But at the time, nobody was really reaching out to me it wasn't working out for a while. Like, nobody was reaching out to me to write. Then Miss Boogie found my page and she asked me to write. And it took some time. It took a couple years before we really got into working on the album. But from the beginning, I really wanted to do this songwriting thing, and I really wanted to give it a shot at working on somebody else's stuff because I had never done that before. Well, not in like a real capacity, because I remember in middle school, like I had my little singing group and I used to write the songs. But see, that's different, you know? I used to write our little songs and shit like that. And then there was this other, these other couple girls that had, they had like a singing and rapping group. And I remember I wrote a song for them. So, but like in a serious context, I had never done it. And finally getting to see the, what sowing a seed does is beautiful. It is beautiful. The new connections. The exciting thing to me is, you know, there have been exciting things about having worked on this album where, you know, I was, we was in Pitchfork. Like my name is in fucking Pitchfork, girl. The album got a 7.5. Like that's amazing. Like I, we had that, we was in what, the New Yorker, cut, a lot of publications, and the most recent one was Paper Magazine. And I was actually interviewed for that. The whole team was interviewed for that. And we got to reflect on this experience. And go check that out. I'm in my highlights on Instagram, I have every single press outlet that has covered us so far. I have it in chronological order with links in my Instagram highlights. So I'm making it very easy for people to go and find those things. So go and check it out. Because I think you guys will enjoy the things that Miss Boogie had to say about this process. And then eventually what we had to say too. So anyway, fast forward, right? I'm really working on my album like in, over the summer. Right over the summer of last year, and day in and day out recording. And part of that stamina was Adderall, definitely. Amphetamines, girl. Amphetamines was keeping me going, girl. The diet meth was keeping me going. And because, again, I have a natural ebb and flow to my creativity. I have a natural ebb and flow to, like, you know, and for me, a lot of it was about learning and, like, sharpening my skills, too. So, like, all of it wasn't, like, me just, like, coming up with ideas that I absolutely loved. But a lot of it was, like, I was, like, really, like, laser focused on, like, learning, like, chord structures and music theory stuff, because I'm an intuitive cook. Like, you know, I'm learning in this season of my life to, like, learn how to use recipes so that I can keep making the food as consistently good as, you know. Anyway, I was working. And everything, it got to a point where everything was riding on this, because I had had, before the strikes happened in the film and TV industry, film and TV had taken the pressure off of me because I had started, okay, I'm jumping around, Jesus Christ. We finished recording Breakdown June 2022. Winter 2022, I start working on my album. But then, as soon as I start doing that, I finally got my foot in the door with the film shit. So for a couple months, I stopped working on the album. And I felt really good about myself because finally I was like, I'm making some bread. Like, I was working on a show. First, I had like a short film. I was working on a short film, and then right after that, I got a job on a show for like the entire season in the wardrobe department. And I was making some consistent bread, and I was like, damn, like, and I'm working hard. Like, they was working us hard in there. Like, I was like, okay. And mind you, film has its perks compared to other things, but they was working us. And so I felt good about that. I'm a Capricorn, you know, I feel very validated when I'm breaking a sweat, you know? So I was like, oh, I'm working hard. I'm tired when I'm coming home. Like, I feel grown. Like, I feel, and my self-esteem was very like booned by that. Is booned the right word? It was like that just hyped me up. It made me feel good about myself. It made me feel like I was contributing in the household. And I was feeling myself, and I felt like, okay, I got my start in my career, and I was right, and I'm glad I took a bet on myself because, and did things my way, because finally I'm here. I'm a musician. I'm working on a great album that's going to come out, and it's going to be amazing, and everyone's going to love it. And So I'm doing some real music industry shit. I'm in the studio. I'm not just in my bedroom. Like, I'm really in the studio and shit. Like, I'm really, like, it's going to be publications. It's going to be this and that. And then also, I am doing this film shit. I'm in the film industry because that was always my vision for my career, was a hybrid of, like, filmmaking and music and being a recording artist, right? So I'm like, I've arrived. Henny, I have arrived. I'm here. So I felt great. But then the strikes happened. And so I had to recalibrate. And I just, what did I do? I went back to music. I was, all right, well, I got a lot of time on my hands. I got my little unemployment girl. I'm going to vote. I'm going to sit in this cave and I'm going to work on this album, because very few times do I have money and time. It's either you have time and no money, or you have money and no time, you know? So it's like, you may have a lot of time, but you sit in the house all the time. You can't really move around because you just don't got no coins. Or you got mad coins. Like when I was working on that show, I didn't have time to really do anything. I would force myself to go out on the weekends because I was like, there's no way I'm going to work myself to the bone and I'm not going to enjoy any of it. Like, what year was that? That was last year. I was 24. I was like, I'm 24. Like, girl, I got to start living at some point. I spent all of my early, like, 20s, like, very fucking broke. I could not do shit. I could not play in the reindeer games. And I'm Jamaican. I was not raised to just be outside for no reason. So I'm not a girl who could run around broke. Like, I can't. Yeah, I already know I got issues with asking people for help and being a burden on people. So I very much hold my corner and I stay my ass in the house when I don't got no money. So that becomes a problem when you often don't have no money. You miss out on a lot of life. So I take my opportunity. As soon as I get some coin, I be like, let's get dressed. I be like, let's go outside. I was working on that album and everything started to ride on that. Everything started to ride on the success of CC1. And because I had nothing else. I had nothing else. This is what I'm good at. When y'all hear artists be like, yo, I got to a point where I was like, I'm not fucking good at anything else. It's this or nothing. Girl, that's real. That's real. That is real. Because at the end of the day, everything else is short term, because none of those things embrace me in my fullness. And it's not an ego thing. It's not me being like looking down at a job. I know that sounds like that when I say, oh, this is not embracing me in my fullness. I know that sounds so like prissy, right? But that's not what I mean. What I mean is, it's just natural. It's natural where, like, if something does not, if you don't fit into a system in a holistic way, when I say holistic, I mean in your entirety, you will not last in that system forever. You cannot keep it up based on, like, girl, I couldn't stay at the fucking bank just because I know how to talk to people. Girl, I had to be good at the numbers. I had to be good. I had to have a knack for that. You know, the fucking mental math. So I give people their right change. You see what I'm saying? Girl, I used to have them people. Oh, my God. I tell that story all the time, girl. Pay it. However, I could not. You see, that's what I mean when I say you cannot sustain something. If it's, you know, that's not forever. None of these jobs is forever, girl. None of these jobs is forever, and they don't look at you like nothing. So I need to be someplace where I'm valued and my value can grow and I can continue become, and it can be an interplay. And when I am not like running at like high speed, somebody else can kick into high gear. And when they're not, I can take that slack. Like, that's how, like, that's what I'm talking about when I say, when I got to fucking Atlanta and I realized, girl, when I'm taking this fucking Adderall, I'm forcing myself to operate as this individual, and it's costly, and it's costing me my mental health, because that depletes your dopamine stores over time in your brain that you have. You see what I'm saying? Because our brains, when you have ADHD, it's like you're understimulated, right? And so it's not that your brain don't have dopamine. It's not releasing dopamine. At least that's my understanding of it, right? You're not releasing, it's not releasing the fucking dopamine. It's not responding to the like, you're not getting, those stimulation signals are not going, right? And you need dopamine because that's your reward chemical that makes you actually, like, follow through on a task and follow through with a train of thought and follow through, you know, and todo, right? So I realized when I got here, I'm like, yo, like, I can function that way in a system without having to rely so heavily on something like that. But when I'm not in a system and when I'm by myself and I'm cut off and I'm forcing myself, because the people around me have been very supportive of me in this season of my life. I have to say that. I felt very loved and supported by the people around me. And they've been patient with me and they have not been rushing me, most of them. And I feel guilty about that a lot of the time because I feel like, bitch, oh my God, like, what am I taking my time and everybody else has to, like, toil, or everybody has to, like, you know, like, oh God, I just can never let myself relax. And I know that in my centered state, I can create value for everybody around me. And that's what I'm always banking on. And that's why I'm always like, I gotta do things my way, because I know that it's gonna create something good for all of us that's gonna last. So that we don't always have to run on this treadmill like we run now. And it's hard for that not to sound like a pipe dream, but it's true. It's nothing but nitty gritty, natural wisdom and practicality. The way that we live is not, we look at that as practical. That's not practical, girl. A business, we force ourselves to kind of operate like mini corporations. A corporation is trying to get the product, get as much product out there with as little overhead and as much profit as possible. Remember when I said I was doing the drop shipping earlier? That's the whole game with that, right? I will order them products from China, which meant I did not have to keep my own inventory. Those wholesale retailers did not have to spend anything on marketing, right? Anything on marketing. They also did not have to put quality into those products because nobody knows them. So it's not like they could create so many, they could sell through so many outlets that it's just like they don't have any responsibility for what happens after that point of sale, right? So for them, that's great. For me, they can just focus on producing as cheap as possible. For me, I can sell without having any infrastructure. I didn't have to have, I was in, at that time, I didn't have a place to live. My friend was away at college and her and her mother had decided to allow me to stay in her room while she was away at college. And her mom was a teacher, so she was like never home. And I was staying out in Queens. And I was in there, it was just me and my laptop, girl. My cousin had gave me like $200 to hold. And he had gave me this old ass laptop that he got from his friend, this big ass fucking laptop. The girl, this big ass fucking PC laptop. And he had that shit and he bought it to me. And I started this off that little laptop. I didn't have shit. I didn't have nothing. I went on YouTube and I figured out what an EIN was, and I got myself a little EIN and I started my little business. DK. You know, the Midas Prince. That's what I used to call it. And because I was specializing in selling gold jewelry. And so anyway, that would have allowed me to, you know, supposedly like continue to produce over and over and over and over and over with as little profit. And that's not sustainable. That did not last long for me. That did not last long for me for many reasons, right? Aside from just the moral dilemma that I had. And forcing ourselves to operate like that as people is just, it doesn't work. It's not, we just can't do it. You know, it leads to burnout and perpetual exhaustion and a breakdown of relationships and isolation. It leads to isolation. And you know what? The human being is so resilient. The human being can get through anything when we have each other. We can get through a lot with each other. Look at slavery. Look at slavery. Look at the stories that came out of slavery. The things that were happening to people in slavery were out of this world, girl. And those people got through because they had each other. But when you isolate us from each other, and everything, there's no meaning no more, and nothing means nothing no more. That's when it's scary. And this capitalist shit isolates the fuck out of all of us. And we have to change our expectations for ourselves. We have to resist the rush. I think there are so many options for being active in today's society. Nobody knows what to do. Everybody's exhausted by all the options out there. We want to get active, but we don't know what's the best way. Like, I want to post about it, but everybody's saying posting is not enough. And I'm not getting out there in the streets. And, you know, I want to do this, but, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think a great way to start is to resist the rush. And that's hard because we have a lot of reasons, a lot of seemingly very practical, sensible reasons. And some of them are sensible and practical. We have a lot of immediate needs that require us to move with a sense of urgency at all times. There is a time and a place. There's a time to get up off them dicks and do something positive with your fucking life. Right? But there's also a time that can't be our normal. That cannot be our normal setting. That's the problem here. The problem is not that sometimes we rush and sometimes we're urgent. Sometimes you have to strike when the iron is hot, but that can't be your setting all the time. It's not sustainable. You're going to break yourself down. And I can't look at the things that our parents went through and be okay with perpetuating it. The things our parents are going through. And it's hard to hear myself say this, and it's hard to hear myself say a lot of the things I'm saying on here, because I'm digging through a lot of shame by admitting that I don't feel adequate. I don't feel like I'm functioning well in this world. I don't feel that I don't feel like it's right. And like, when I start to hear myself talk about the alternative, and when I start to hear myself talk about like, well, capitalism, this and that, I start to like cringe, because I don't want to live on the fringe. I don't want to live on the fringe. I really don't. I'm alternative by nature, not by choice. And my alternativeness is oftentimes amplified by how other people see me and not by my existence and my way of walking through this world. And so, sometimes when I hear myself having what some people might look at as a radical thought, I get scared, because I'm just like, oh no, girl, you being crunchy, girl, you being crunchy. If you're not a TikTok girl right now, you probably don't know what the fuck I mean by you being crunchy, but you being crunchy. And I've made effort to not be grungy and not be like, because, you know, sometimes it's just when you have all these identities, you live at the crossroads of all these identities, and they happen to be marginalized identities, you don't want to add another one to the pot. Like, that is so scary. It is so scary. Like, you don't want to do that. And for the sake of like not sounding like a broken record, I'm not gonna list mine. but regardless of that, and regardless of like my elder's voice in the back of my head telling me that I sound ridiculous and I sound lazy and I sound this and I sound that, I'm gonna push through that discomfort, and I'm gonna say that this shit is not working, y'all. And we have to focus on creating systems of support between each other. And we have to be okay with supporting each other. And we have to practice not making each other feel bad about receiving support from each other, and not making ourselves feel bad and feel ashamed of needing support. And not framing it as, oh, I'm a burden to these people all the time. And we can do better with each other about making each other not feel that way. And thank God I have felt that way with my friends who have supported me throughout the years. You know, they have made me, they have done everything in their power to make me feel like not bad. Like I don't have to hear, like nobody's ever, like none of my friends at least have thrown it in my face, anything they've done for me, and been like, you know. Can I say the same about some relatives? Some of them, not all of them. But there's a thing, and I think in a lot of our families, where reaching out for support makes people look down on you and belittle you, or you never hear the end of it, you know? Or it means that you are indebted to them and you owe them something. Right? It's all leading up to a great debt. And there's a lot of pressure in that relationship. And it causes you to not want to ask for help and to seek and to mentally associate receiving support with negativity and with shameful feelings. And I deal with a lot of that shame. I really, 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 really do. I remember when I was a kid, sometimes I didn't even want to ask for no toys, because I just, like, I didn't want to add to my mother's stress. Like, my mother would be, sometimes she would just be bugging. Like, she you know, life will push you. Life will push you. My mother would be bugging sometimes, and she would just be going through it. And I would see that as a kid, and I would want a little, like, I would have little, like, simple kid desires that, like, I would just not, I would, like, nah. You know? And that's not all the time. I don't want to paint a picture of like my childhood, like my mother never got nothing for me. You know, like it's not like that. I had some nice things when I was a kid. However, I also had the other experience. And the other experience really did shape the way that I've stepped into my adulthood, and that I'm stepping into my adulthood. Yeah, I gotta take my time. And I can't do this by myself. And I don't wanna do this by myself. We have to stop wanting to do it by ourselves. We have such negative connotations around that. You know, there's a difference between codependency and collaboration. And I want to live a collaborative life. And that doesn't mean, you know, I think a lot of times when we talk about that kind of system for ourselves, it comes with the squashing of the individual. I'm never going to advocate for the squashing of the individual in favor of the community, but I think that we can have both. I think that there are worlds in between the extremes. And both extremes don't want us to think that, you know? There are some people out here who look at community as something where it's just like, there should never be an I. You know, there's no I in community, even though there is. There's no I in community. You see what I'm saying? And then there's people who's like, girl, get it how you live, get it out the mud. This girl, to be realistic, like the world is hard. You gotta, whatever. And that's how most of us on this side of the planet think. Um, I'm losing steam now. I would love to wrap this up in, you know, a perfect way that summarizes everything. But in the spirit of just doing this shit and putting it out, I'm just going to say I don't really have much left. I'm going to keep doing a couple of these. I'm going to do a couple of these. They might be a regular. They won't be when I feel like it. I have the idea to like maybe go back into some of my archives on Instagram and rehash some of those podcasts, because I think there's a lot of things that I say on Instagram that people want to be able to reference back, and they cannot because it's only up there for 24 hours. But girl, you had to be there. It's not my fault that y'all are clicking so fast through everything. That's not my fault. Slow down. Put the phone down, right? Let my Instagram story play and go wash the dishes. All right. That's it for now, y'all. That's all I got. I don't have anything to promote. I'm out here. I'm working on my music. It's going to come out when it come out. It's going to be ready when it's ready. It's not ready yet. It's not near ready yet. But I have a lot. I definitely have a lot. I have like nearing 100 songs. They're not all full songs. But I have a lot of material. I'll say that. I'm going to leave it with two little like story anecdotes that I think speak to what I'm talking about, and then I'm done. I think about the White Rabbit in Alice in Wonderland, who had that little stopwatch, and the whole fucking movie he's trying to get where he's trying to go, and he's gonna be late, and he's gonna be late, and he's gonna be late, and he never gets where he wants to go. He never gets where he wants to go. He's just always perpetually rushing. And I've observed that in my family. I've observed that in myself, because I've put myself under so much pressure all of these years. And what do I have to show for it? And that's not to belittle myself. That's not to belittle myself. That is just to look at the situation and be like, everything that you do have that you're thankful for, did you get that through the rushing and the pressure and the I gotta get and I gotta? No, you didn't. Stop and take stock of the things that you really value and tell me if you earned that by that. Maybe some of y'all did. I did not. My mother always used to tell me this story about, she used to tell me this story about this ghost, this spirit of this lady who used to stand on the intersection in Freeport in the Bahamas, right? Because my mother grew up in the Bahamas, even though she's Jamaican. And the lady wears a wedding dress and she's late for her wedding. And so she stands on that intersection forever, like in limbo, you know, intersection. There's a lot of symbolism there with the intersection. But she stands there and she's hailing a taxi like, I'm going to be late for my wedding. Please, please, somebody, I'm going to be late. I can't be late for my wedding. I'm going to be late for my wedding. However, she doesn't realize what's happened and what's happening. And I think that a lot of us are living like that lady. A lot of us are living like that lady. Think about it. I'm gonna leave that there. God bless everybody.